Exodus 20. I've entitled this message, Holiday or Holy Day? Holiday or Holy Day? If you've ever watched Chariots of Fire, you remember the story of Eric Liddell. Eric was a very godly Scots Presbyterian. At one and the same time, he was one of the fastest men in the world of his day. He was to be the star on the British track team in the 1924 Olympics. One of my favorite lines from Liddell in that movie is, he said, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." He realized that whatever God had gifted one to do, they would use that gift, that talent, to glorify him. Eric had almost refused to even go and participate in the Olympics because he and his soon-to-be wife, yes, they were engaged, the wedding was coming up, and you know all the hubbub that can create. The Sears family is going through that right now. It's a joyous time, a glorious time, but a very busy time. And then, as soon as they were married, within the week, they were headed off to China to serve as missionaries. However, after much prayer, Eric decided that being able to participate in the Olympics was in itself a gift of God. When the British team arrived for the games, Liddell discovered only upon arrival that one of the trial heats for the race in which he would be running was to be run on a Sunday. He emphatically refused to participate. The Prince of Wales met with him personally and tried to berate him into, as he said, standing up for God and country, and instead of getting worked up over some religious trivialities. Yet Liddell reminded the Prince of Wales that God had set aside the Sabbath day long before the United Kingdom ever existed. To make a very long story short, another runner was substituted in Liddell's place, and Liddell was put in that runner's place since the other runner's trial heat wasn't on a Sunday. And guess what? Both runners went on to win gold medals in races that they had never trained for. Where are the men of character like that in our day? In my opinion, there seems to be a shortage of them. Soon after the Olympics, Eric Liddell married. He set sail for China. And with only a few years, he was martyred there. A true hero of the Christian faith. The question I want to ask you this morning is, was Eric Liddell right? Was he right? Erwin Lutzer tells of a true story involving a New England pastor. He was pastoring his first church, a congregational church. This was in the late 1800s. And the third or fourth Sunday he was there, he woke up and it had come a gigantic ice storm during the night. Somewhere between an inch and a half of ice, one could hardly walk on the streets. So he put on ice skates and he skated to church. Since the elders of that particular congregation felt that ice skating was recreational, they had a long talk with their young pastor after the morning service. And their decision was, I love this, it was okay for the pastor to skate to church as long as he didn't enjoy it. Most of the Puritans, some of my heroes, felt that many of the regulations of the Old Covenant Sabbath should be transferred to the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. As a result, you weren't allowed to travel long distances on Sunday. Women did all their cooking for Sunday on Saturday evening. Men even shaved before they went to bed on Saturday night to avoid shaving on Sunday morning. And folks, I remember as a small child some people in my great-grandma's community who still did these things. Great-granny always did her cooking on Saturday evening to keep from doing so on Sunday. But my question is, were they right? You're going to have to simply wait until the end of this message to find out. I want us to begin by looking closely at the fourth commandment. We'll then look at why the Christian church doesn't observe an old covenant Sabbath on Saturday. Then I finish by talking about how the Sabbath relates to you and I today. So first, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, remembering the Sabbath. Remembering the Sabbath. And as you look at the list of 10 commandments, this is by far the lengthiest of the 10 commandments. And it can be divided in this way. Verse 8 tells us what to do. Verses 9 and 10 tell us how we're to do it. And verse 11 explains why we do it. So first, what God wants us to do is to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The word remember has a double meaning here. First, it serves as a reminder to Israel of all that they had heard about the Sabbath before, all that they had been commanded about the Sabbath in previous times. They were to remember that all that God had done for them in freeing them from Egyptian slavery. They were to remember God's provision of manna 6 days out of the 7 day week. And on the sixth day, God gave them a double portion to wing them through the Sabbath. Chapter 16, verse 23 specifies that it was to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. And they were to remember all this. But that remembrance also involves a second focus. Remembering involves more than just our memories. The type of remembering commanded here demanded a total engagement of the whole person in God's service on that day. It meant using the day to show one's love and reverence for God. It means keeping that day holy, separate, set apart. We're to keep it set apart from all the other days in the week. My friend, the Lord's day isn't your of-the-mill day. The Lord's day is a very special day. So what it means? Secondly, how are we to do this? We have here explicit instructions in verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now, almost no one ever talks about this part of the fourth commandment. Notice here in the fourth commandment, verse 9, we are commanded to work. To work. My friend, in Six Flags Over America, we try to brush this part of the commandment aside. Note also that a 2 day weekend is foreign to the Word of God. They were to work how many days? 6 days, and then rest. I can just hear somebody saying, preacher, work is a result of the fall. No, it isn't. God gave Adam and Eve work before the fall. How do we know this? Chapter 2 of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15 reads, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." Mankind was made to work from the very beginning. Well, what happened at the fall? Our work became cursed by our sin. It was only after Adam had sinned that God said in Genesis 3:17, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life." So let's get this straight from the very beginning. We must work. Now look at verse 10. The second half of this. "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God," literally of Yahweh your God. "In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." So God here covers all the bases on this particular day. 6 days were for work. The seventh day was for worship. How do we keep the fourth commandment? How do we rest in God? By consciously and very deliberately worshiping Him. To keep somebody, something holy is to set it aside exclusively for worship and or godly activity. 6 days are for us and our work. The Sabbath is for God and His worship, and may we never forget that. The Sabbath is also a day of rest. It's a day for ceasing from common labor. It isn't a day for business as usual. And note that this rest is commanded. Note also that it isn't only commanded for man, but for the children, the servants. That would mean if you own a business, the people you employ, but also for animals and even for others who may be visiting your homes. In Luke 23:56, the women refused to even prepare Jesus' body for burial. That's the reason they show up on Sunday morning in order to do so the first day of the week. Parents, note also that in verse 10, the Bible requires you to set the agenda for your children on the Lord's Day. Don't leave it up to them. You set that agenda. You are the one who's to set the example of worship and rest for them. So what it means, how we're to keep it. But we also see, thirdly, verse 11, why should we keep it? For in 6 days, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We're to keep it because the Lord set that day aside during creation. The Sabbath is the oldest of the Ten Commandments. After the Lord created all that is in 6 days, He set the seventh day aside as a day of rest, a memorial to Him. God's behavior in creation, therefore, sets the pattern for us. Have you ever thought that part of the dignity we receive from our work comes from the fact that God is a worker? God's working. We work because we were made in the image of God. Yet, we also serve a resting God. My friend, the first time God blessed anything was when He blessed the day of rest and worship for us to share with Him. We keep the Lord's day because God made that day holy. Like work, rest is part of the very fabric of a human being. The Sabbath, in our case, the Lord's Day, is a very holy day. It's a day of worship and reflection for the Christian. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 and 15 reads, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Christian, on this holy day, you're to reflect on your life when you were in slavery, in the slavery of your sin and guilt, and to remember the redemption that God brought about in your heart, and you're to celebrate that truth. You're to joy in that truth. I've never understood people gathering together on a Sunday morning with a face that looks like a mule that's been eaten on briars. I've never understood that. I've never understood anybody, a Christian I'm talking about here, who can't joy in the Lord on the Sabbath day. And if we joy in the Lord, that inevitably affects our face muscles. Amen? God's Sabbath is set aside so we can enjoy an entire, uninterrupted day with Him and rest in His goodness. Christian, is the Lord's day, for the most part, like any other day to you? It shouldn't be. It's the most special day of the week for a Christian. It is God's special day. It's a day that should be set aside and special for us as well. When is the last time you took this whole day to do little but relish in God and His love for you, to celebrate what He accomplished for you through the cross and the empty tomb, and to celebrate the fact that the here and now isn't all there is? There is a day when He's coming back, and we're to joy in that. So we're to remember the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. Well, why doesn't the Christian church observe the Old Covenant Sabbath on a Saturday? I'm asked that question here and now. It's probably been a couple of years since I've been asked that, but when I first came your pastor, I was asked that question quite often. And I always give roughly the same answer. Because the early church moved the Sabbath observance to the first day of the week, they turned what had become a very obsessive day of regulation back into a day of celebration, as was its original intent. Acts 20 verse 7 tells us that on the first day of the week, Sunday, when we gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, yada, yada, yada. Of course, that phrase, the breaking of bread, refers to the Lord's Supper, which memorializes Christ's resurrection and the second coming. That meeting took place on a Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16:2 reads, on the first day of the week, Sunday, each of you is to put aside something and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. Let me explain this just a little bit. The church was to set aside gifts for Paul's multiple missionary journeys and travels when they gathered together on their day of worship the first day of the week, so that when Paul came through, they wouldn't have to go around and individually take that up. They could present it to him on the Lord's day. Furthermore, not a single one of the New Testament letters say anything about the early church violating the Sabbath by worshiping on the Sunday. Well, Brother Roy, that's an argument from silence. Yes, it is. But it's a very loud silence. In addition, in Colossians, Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 16, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Folks, have you ever noticed the way the Lord's Day turned the more ritualistic Jewish Sabbath on its head? Under the Old Covenant, you worked 6 days, and then you were rewarded with a day of rest. Under the New Covenant, the week begins with rest in the Lord. Under the Old Covenant, you worked in order to earn rest. Under the New Covenant, you rest in order to reach your fullest potential in the following 6 days of the week. Christian, no wonder the rest of your week goes haywire when you refuse to worship and rest on the day that God has set aside for you and I to do so. Sunday helps prepare us for the remainder of the week. It is God's gift to us. It's His children. Relish in it for all it's worth. We're to remember the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. Christian worship on the Lord's Day, the day of Christ's resurrection, is the first day of the week and has been since the first century church. Now, the Sabbath today. In order to establish what our attitude toward the Lord's Day should be, I want to first briefly explore Jesus' attitude toward the Sabbath. You know, Jesus was accused in the gospel 6 separate times for violating the Sabbath. And his essential response is that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That is, the Sabbath was made to give man rest in the Lord, not to add even more burdens to the burdens he already had. Folks, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. His argument was, if you're allowed to pull an ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath, I'm allowed to minister to people on the Sabbath. The disciples plucked grain on the Sabbath. man is allowed to alleviate his hunger on the Sabbath. This is where we get the application that works of necessity are allowed on the Lord's day. We've got one, I'm thinking of one, Matt Daniels, has to work every single Sunday. Can that be helped in his current job? No. Pray that God open up another one for him where he can be here. That happens. That's a work of necessity. I'm talking about things you don't have to do, but you choose to do anyway. The whole point of all this is that Jesus did not break the Sabbath as it was originally instituted by the Father when Jesus did any of those things. My friend, any way you look at it, Jesus hated burdensome, man-made tradition being added to the Word of God. He hated doing something a certain way because it had been done that way for centuries, especially when it didn't accord with God's original intent. The people had been actually taking away from the Sabbath with all of their silly rules and regulations. Rabbinic tradition had all but destroyed the original intent of the Sabbath. They had turned a day of rest into a day of nitpicking. And my friend, we must beware that we never do that. Well, now that we know how Jesus viewed the Sabbath, how should Christians today view the Lord's Day? First, remember that all the regulations of the Old Covenant and rabbinic tradition have not been transferred over to Sunday. I could preach two messages here. I don't have time, and you don't have the patience to hear it. And I vowed to spend one Sunday on each of these commandments. The Israelites weren't even allowed to build a fire. Well, Brother Roy, what did they do if they woke up and it's 30 degrees? It's never 30 degrees in the Middle East. They didn't have to worry about that. They couldn't travel but certain distances. These were elements of the Old Covenant. Secondly, remember that the principle of one day in seven is woven into the very fabric of our nature. Why? Because God rested. And this predated the law by a few thousand years. It transcends all time. My friend, the Lord's Day is a day of worship and reflection, a day of rest, a day of rejoicing. It's a day that we set aside to think upon what the Lord has done for us. It's also a day in which we spend at least part of the day doing so as a body of believers. Well, Brother Roy, who's the body of believers? Look around you. It's us. It's Laurel Creek Baptist Church. This is why Hebrews 10:25 commands us that we're not to be neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. They were even Baptists back then. But encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. This simply means that when Laurel Creek Baptist Church has set aside this day to meet, you should be here not out of necessity, but because you love God, you love His people, and you want to be here. And if you don't want to be here, you've got other problems. Why would a person who's infatuated with God not want to be around his brothers and sisters in Christ as much as they could? After all, we're going to be spending all eternity together. So let's get used to it now. Preacher, you don't understand. I'm just too busy. My friend, if you're too busy to be in God's house with God's people, you are too busy. Do some work on your calendar so you can be here. Without the people of God, you will shrivel up on the bone and die in your walk with Christ. We've got to have each other. God placed us in a church with other believers for a reason. And part of that is to hold each other accountable, yes. But on the positive side of that, another part of that is to worship and joy in the Lord together in practice for worshiping and enjoying the Lord throughout all eternity together. God's going to reward your every effort. If it's not works of necessity, be here. Well, now, preacher, you just don't understand. I don't get but 6 hours of sleep, 6 nights a week. Well, if you do it 6 nights a week, do it on Saturday. Still get here. You can be here. Get here. Third, remember that the Lord's Day is also a reminder of God's grace. Very quickly, as I stated earlier, we now begin our week with rest and worship before we do anything else. What grace! What love! After receiving our rest in Christ on Sunday, we're then able to go out and work in this sin-cursed world. As most of you know, one of my heroes is Martin Luther. I love Martin Luther. Sometimes I wish I were more like Martin Luther. And then there's other times when I'm glad I'm not. He was a man of many warts. Numerous warts. But he was also a man of God. Before his conversion, Luther sat in a monastery, hoping to somehow earn God's favor. And in order to do so, Luther felt that every day he must confess every single sin he had committed in the last 24 hours. Think about that. Staupitz, his confessor, remember then, all you had in the West was the Roman Catholic Church, or the Roman Catholic organization, I like to say. Staupitz was his confessor. Staupitz was one whom I believe understood the Bible. But he said there were days when he spent 6 hours in a confessional booth with Martin Luther as he rattled off every single sin of thought, speech, and action that he had committed in the last 24 hours. And then Staupitz said he would return to his cell and he would forget one that he hadn't confessed. So he comes looking Staupitz up again. Folks, that drove Luther to mortal agony, as you could imagine. Finally, he developed a habit of reciting the Ten Commandments as well as the seven deadly sins in hopes of jogging his memory. Did this lead to rest? No, it only led to further hours of misery. A few years later, Luther began to teach in the seminary. And he actually taught through several books. I know the Psalms really spoke to him, but it was Romans that he came to understand that righteousness is a gift of God in response to God-given faith. Salvation was a free gift to those who gave up trying to save themselves. And only after this discovery did Luther become a man of rest. Now he was finally free to truly serve God with the right attitude and with a spirit of worship. And he served God out of a spirit of heartfelt thankfulness rather than out of his previous slavish devotion. Folks, Luther finally came to realize something that I pray all of us realize. God's grace rewards you at the beginning of the race as well as at the end. So you can be freed to truly serve Christ from a heart which absolutely explodes with gratitude toward Him in every way. My friend, of all the people in the world, you, as a child of God, as a recipient of God's free grace, as a member of God's kingdom, as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, ought to keep the Lord's Day with joy, unbridled joy. What about Eric Liddell? Did he have the right attitude toward the Lord's Day? Was he right in not running on a Sunday? If he thought he is offending God, of course he was right. In writing about whether a Christian should eat meat sacrificed to idols in Romans 14:23, Paul says the following: "But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." This simply means that if Liddell had violated his conscience by running on the Sunday, he sinned. I don't know about you. I admire the man. I thank God for him. What about the skating pastor? Should he have skated to church on the Sunday of the inch to an inch in IFI storm? If so, should he have been allowed to enjoy it? Yes, he should have skated to church. And he should have enjoyed every single minute of it. Were the Puritans right? Should the ladies do all their Sunday cooking on Saturday evening? Should men shave on Saturday night? Once again, all these boil down to issues of individual conscience. Let me say this. This isn't in my outline. Sometimes to even ask some questions, it proves that we don't have the best attitude toward the Sabbath. Do I have to do it? You don't have the right attitude toward the Sabbath. Am I required to do it? Then you don't have the right attitude toward the Sabbath. Once again, these boil down to individual conscience. So much of this stuff does. If you feel this is what you should do, more power to you. I had a great granny that did this till the day she died. And she loved the Lord. If you see nothing wrong with getting up early Sunday morning and putting that pot roast on, or Sunday afternoon whipping something together, more power to you as well, as long as you're joying in God as you do it. Not with thoughts like, I wish that sorry husband of mine was in here helping with this stuff. That's not properly observing the Sabbath. As long as you set the day aside for worship and rest in the Lord, both with the local body of believers and in the home, most of that are issues of conscience. Now, that assumes something. And I'm wrong, I know, in assuming this. That assumes that your conscience is held captive to the Word of God. And that's a gigantic assumption. I could preach a whole message on that one too. I don't have time for that. Well, preacher, I've been asked this before. Preacher, especially since we started doing our services the way we do them, we come for the first service, then break, then the finger food, then second service. Can't we do just anything we want when we get home on Sunday afternoon? Yes, as long as it's in service to the Lord, as long as it's in joy in His presence. I have people all the time. Had one tell me the other day, Edith Dotson. Edith Dotson absolutely loves visits. She talks on the phone not like she used to, but she loves a visit. Had one tell me, well, I just never have time for it. Sunday afternoon's a good time. Visit shut-ins. Visit other Christians. For heaven's sake, don't cold knock. Used to, 25, 30 years ago, you could get by with that. Let them know you are coming. Let me know if you're coming to my house, because I'm going to have to clear some things up for you to have a place to sit down. There's books and materials everywhere. Enjoy your family on Sunday afternoon. Spend uninterrupted time with your family. Oh, preacher, you don't know my family. Well, if you spent some time with them on Sunday evening, maybe it wouldn't be that way. Read a Christian book. Preacher, I don't ever have time to read. Sunday evening, you've got it now, and you can say the preacher said so. Here's another one. If you've got nothing else to do, you visited everybody you wanted to visit, you prayed and you felt you rung the bells of heaven, you've read a Christian book, there's nothing else to do, take a nap. That's included under resting. You see what I'm saying? The whole day is to be spent in honoring God in some way. Why? Because it's a privilege to do so. It's a good thing to do so. It's an enjoyable thing to do so. One more point. Romans 14 teaches us not to sit in judgment on the brother of Christ who might not see it like you see it. In other words, I won't pick on Steve Russell. He's not in here. If Steve thinks one shouldn't go out to eat on Sunday, and he knows that somebody in this church is taking and paying for all the pastor's expenses of Olive Garden following the afternoon service, he's not to think, well, that old preacher, he couldn't be in God's will. Yet there's a flip side to that coin. While I'm eating the tour of Italy at Olive Garden, I'm not to be thinking, well, that old legalistic Steve Russell could be here with me if he wasn't so nitpicking. Individual conscience. By the way, I count the times on two fingers I've ever eaten out on a Sunday since I've been your pastor. I'm not a big eater-outer unless it's in a hurry during the week, run into what used to be Beano's that I still call Beano's 3 years after it's been bought by somebody else. That's about all the eating out I do. So eating out's not a big thing to me, but to some people it is. And some people argue against it. Well, it makes other people work. My argument would be they were already working anyway. They would have been working whether you show up or not. But once again, individual conscience, my friend, the key thing we need to remember is that Jesus Christ is our object of worship and the giver of rest. And the Sabbath is ultimately fulfilled in Him. And we are to enjoy His presence to the max on the Lord's Day. I want to ask you, on the Lord's Day, does Christ dominate your thoughts? When you're in this house of worship with other believers, does Christ dominate your thoughts? Does Christ dominate your activity on Sunday evening? Does Christ dominate your pleasurous times on the Lord's Day? Well, preacher, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not a Christian. Then our prayer for you is that you will find rest in the Lord even today. May you find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ even today. Well, preacher, what do you mean? I mean this. Flee to Christ. Repent of your sins. And welcome Him into your heart. My friend, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross, graveyard dead. He was placed in the tomb. He rose again the third day so that all of humanity could live forever. The righteous are going to live with Him in a new heaven and earth for all eternity. If you don't know the Lord and you've rebelled against Him your entire life and you die in that condition, you're going to spend all eternity in hell with the devil and the fallen angels. It boils down to that. Do you believe Christ died on the cross for a sinner like you? That's the first step to being saved. That's the first step to knowing the Lord. But knowing the Lord involves the new birth. And the new birth comes from above. It comes from God. You can't work it up. You can't work yourself into a mental frenzy and somehow that brings you into a right relationship with Him. No, if you're ever saved, it's a gift of God. It comes from His hand, and it comes through the God-given new birth. And the Bible tells us that once God has saved us, that He seals us with the Spirit of adoption until the day of redemption. Have you ever fled to Jesus Christ for salvation? If not, I pray you do so soon. Let us stand and let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the Christian Sabbath. God, I thank you for Sunday. Lord, I thank you for the people at Laurel Creek. I thank you that I'm not the pastor of a group of people that don't believe your word. I thank you that I'm not pastoring a group of people that don't believe you're coming back soon to take your bride with you. Lord, I thank you that these people believe the word of God. Lord, my prayer is when it comes to the Christian Sabbath, now help us to live the word of God. We believe it. Help us to live it. Lord, there are some under the sound of my voice this evening, they're to get done this evening when they get home. Banish that from their minds. Forgive us of such thinking, Lord. God, replace that thinking with adoration of you, even now. Lord, I pray for the one here who doesn't know you today. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask you to do heart surgery on them. We ask you to grant the new birth, and we ask you to give them a new heart that desires you, that desires to live for you, that desires to praise you whatever comes their way. God, keep growing Laurel Creek Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.